and welcome back to New to Nursing. This is the podcast for nurses, LPNs, RNs, and RPNs in interior health who have been working less than 18 months. Welcome. My name is Kelsey, and today I'm going to be your host, and we're going to talk about IV insertion within interior health. Specifically, we're going to talk about peripheral venous access devices, or PVAD, insertion. Today, we'll go over picking a vein, choosing a gauge size, we'll talk about different supplies you might need, and then we'll get down to the nitty-gritty of actually inserting a PVAD, maybe assessing them and making sure you're in the vein, and then we'll talk about some common complications that you can see. This is an invasive procedure, so we want to make sure that we're doing things safely. So let's dive right in. Let's talk about veins and anatomy. Some things you need to keep in mind when you're picking a vein. You might need to think about your patient's age. Maybe there's a few conditions we'll talk about that can make IV insertion more difficult. And you also want to consider what your IV is going to be used for. So let's go into age. So as we age, your veins can become more brittle. Kids typically have smaller veins than the elderly, and even elderly sometimes have teeny tiny little surface veins. So that is something to keep in mind when you're having a look at someone's arms and hands for choosing a vein. Common areas that you would insert an IV are the back of the hand, the forearm, and the antecubital fossa, or sometimes referred to as the ACF. The ACF has some big veins running through it that are often a good choice, but if you think about age of your patient, like a child, that's also a place where they want to bend and play and do this. So sometimes the ACF isn't always the best choice for an IV. There are some conditions that can make IV insertion more difficult. So I've already kind of talked about the elderly and how they can have kind of very delicate skin and their veins can be quite friable or delicate. You also have to think about patients with renal disease. They might be getting hemodialysis, and so there might be a whole arm that you can't use because they may have an AV fistula, which is just a connection that is surgically made between an artery and a vein, typically on the forearm, and it's used for dialysis access. Patients with cancer are getting drugs that often destroy veins. They're vesicant drugs, so they might have less selection. Patients who have a history of IV drug abuse, often their veins are difficult. And then another thing to think about when you're selecting veins is, what is the IV going to be used for? Is it going to be in for more than a day? Are they going to be getting antibiotics 4 times a day? You'll want to pick a larger vein if you want it to last longer. And typically, if it's going to be in long term, you want it in a comfortable location. So the forearm is probably the best place rather than those bending spots in the wrist or the hand or the ACF. Next, let's talk about gauge size. So how do you decide which size needle to pick? In interior health, we have IV catheters that range from itty bitty tiny 24 gauge all the way up to, I think I've seen 14 gauge. And remember, the bigger the number, the smaller the needle. So a 24 is tiny and a 14 is a garden hose. When you're trying to decide which gauge to use, you need to think about the purpose again. So a patient who's maybe going for a CT scan with contrast likely needs a large vein, large gauge IV to be able to push that contrast fluid through. Contrast fluid, if you've never seen it, is quite viscous. So if they try to push that through a tinier vein, either you'll blow the vein or it's actually not going to be pushed in fast enough for the scan to be successful. You also want to think about location. So in the back of the hand, likely you're not going to get a 14 in there just based on location, but ACF, perhaps, because that vein is quite a bit bigger there. Let's talk about supplies. So some floors, if you're lucky enough, have pre-made IV kits or carts, so you don't have to think too much about what to grab. But if you work in a place like me where you have to go collect all of your own supplies, you're going to need a tourniquet. You're going to need a chlorhexidine swab. You're going to need the actual IV catheter, a dressing or tegaderm of some sort, a normal saline pre-filled syringe for flushing. You're going to need tape and you're going to need gloves. Now, Interior Health's policy is to use chlorhexidine swabs to clean the site, but there are people out there who are allergic to chlorhexidine, so make sure you're asking your patient about their allergies. When it comes to tourniquet, be really careful with delicate skin. Sometimes just tightening up that tourniquet can cause a tear in those delicate skin patients. A tip that you can use is you can take a face cloth and put it underneath the tourniquet to protect the skin. I sometimes will put it over top of the patient gown just so I'm not putting that tight rubber right against someone's delicate skin. If you have someone with larger arms, a tourniquet can be quite painful. So you can use a manual blood pressure cuff or you can double up the tourniquets. Just be really cautious. Sometimes with really friable veins too, you don't want a super tight tourniquet. So just assess your patient and be cautious with your tourniquet. When it comes to insertion, my biggest tip for you, A, is try. Even if someone says they're a hard stick or everyone's saying they're a really hard patient to get an IV on, try. That's the only way you're going to get better at IV starts. My second tip would be make sure that you are comfortable. So that might mean sitting down. Definitely raise the bed to a comfortable working height. Have everything organized and laid out for you. And turn on the lights. I think that's something I see often when I go up to help with IV starts is trying to start an IV in the dark is very challenging. So turn on all the lights if you can. There's also in some sites you can get a vein finder, which is a little tool that shines a light on the skin and can help highlight veins that are typically harder to see. I always say spend some time looking at the arm and really look at the real estate available. Look at both sides and pick a vein that is nice and straight, that doesn't move too much when you press around the skin around it. Make sure it's not branching too much. And I always trust veins that I can feel more than I can see. I don't trust a vein that I can see but not feel. I hope that makes sense. It should feel like a bouncy trampoline when you're palpating it. Interior health policy is that each nurse gets two tries. So if you try once and you're unsuccessful, you're allowed to try one more time. If you're still unsuccessful, you need to phone a friend. And if two people are unsuccessful, meaning now that patient has had four unsuccessful IV attempts, you need to ask for more help. So we need to call on the advanced practitioners who have advanced vascular access skills. Maybe you work in a hospital with an IV team. Maybe you work in a hospital where there are ultrasound IV insertion trained nurses. So you just need to notify the provider and escalate to a higher level of care. My other tip with insertion, when you do find a vein, especially with these new Nexiva catheters, is really your insertion angle needs to be low. So I think in the textbook, it says go in at about a 30 degree angle. Tip is just go as close to the skin as you possibly can for your insertion angle. Once you get flash, once you see blood in that catheter tubing, that means that the beveled tip has entered the vessel. It doesn't mean that the actual catheter plastic part is in the vein. So when you get flash, that means that you're close, but you still need to advance about 1 to 2 more millimeters to ensure that that plastic catheter is inside the vessel. So when you get flash, stop, lower your angle all the way down so that it's touching the patient's skin and advance your needle another 1 to 2 millimeters. Once that's done, then you can slowly start pushing the catheter off the needle and advancing that plastic tube into the vein. How do you know that you're actually in the vein? So that flash tip is a good clue. Once you advance that catheter in the Nexiva catheter extension tubing, it should self-fill with blood. So it self-primes with blood. And if that happens, yahoo, we know we're in the vein. The other thing you want to do is do a saline flush to make sure that you're not up against a valve, or maybe you were in the vein and then out of the vein. This is a really important step. So once you secure that catheter down with a tegaderm or tape, then you're going to attach the cap to your saline flush, and you're going to flush the cap, then attach it to the extension set of the Nexiva catheter, open up that clamp and flush, and make sure that it's flushing easily, that you're not feeling any resistance. You're going to look at your insertion site and make sure that there's no big bleb forming, showing that maybe you're not in the vein, and there shouldn't be any pain. So check in with your patient. It shouldn't hurt when you're flushing the IV. In interior health, we don't actually routinely change IVs. It's not recommended. So that catheter can stay in as long as it's being flushed once a shift at minimum, and that it's working properly. Remember, if your patient doesn't need an IV, please remove it. So some complications that can happen from your IV start. So every shift, every time you flush and assess that, you're going to be looking for redness, pain, edema, fluid leaking, and maybe purulent drainage. Phlebitis is erythema, or redness, heat, pain, streaks can form, and there's a palpable venous cord, so that vein can feel kind of crunchy, and some purulent drainage. That is something we need to be concerned of. IV infiltration or extravasation is when like a vesicant or an IV fluid can leak outside the vein into the tissues, and there's some that can be really damaging to tissue. So you really do need to be assessing not only your site, but your infusions too, to make sure that there's no extravasation. Cellulitis can happen, which is a localized infection at the IV site, and that would be redness. So it's different from phlebitis, which is the inflammation of the actual vessel. Cellulitis would be inflammation of the area of insertion. And basically, with any of these complications, we're going to want to stop the IV, remove the catheter, and notify the most responsible physician. If you want more information on PVAD insertion, there's a lot of policies on the InsideNet Parenteral Practices page under the PVAD Insertion Toolkit. If you have any other questions or you want to reach out to the new grad team, if you have any ideas maybe for future podcast episodes like this where we can break down a skill for you, let us know at newgradprogrampo@interiorhealth.ca. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.